So we are in Genesis chapter 29. Am I right? Genesis chapter 29. Ken hasn't been here for a while, so I'm a little bit concerned as to whether or not we know where we are. 29
is the right number.
29. Verse 21 is where I believe we are. 29:21. I didn't put a pin mark there, but I'm pretty sure that's where we are.
Then Jacob said to Laban,
that's right. And Ivan has just arrived. And his car appears to be intact. So we thank you for that, Lord. All right, so Jacob's going to marry today. He's going to get married. Not to the woman he thought he was going to get married to.
I believe we're on 14.
You believe we're on 14? Well, we could kind of back up a little bit. 14 and a half. We need to back up anyway just a little bit just to kind of recap of where we are.
It was, you know, when Janie was getting married, I really had a lot of fun with my future son-in-law telling him
about
be careful for the old switcheroo. He's going to lift the veil, and Catherine was going to be there.
And Catherine was going to be there.
Yeah.
Well, no, Catherine
sure
would have
old.
Felt about that.
Well, she thought it was funny for a while.
She thought it was funny for a while.
But
it got a little old afterwards.
We're
greeting Ivan right now, who just shared up.
This idea of mistaken identity or deceit of identity is... It just repeats itself all through.
Yeah, we've been talking about the being able to look at this family as kind of a dysfunctional family that's having all of these issues. For me, it was one of the things when we talk about this is the genealogy, the family line of Christ. You're like, whoa.
Yeah.
He in some ways, it's kind of a messed up family, right?
Yeah.
And so for me, that's one of the things that makes this whole story authentic, right? If you are making up a story about, you know, the God, right? This Son of God and His family line. You probably wouldn't make up a story that had so much controversy within it. But
you know, if you read Shakespeare, I mean, it's a very frequent device. People pretend to be somebody else.
That's true.
He was writing in whatever 1400, 1800 to an audience that would have been very familiar
with this.
Stories.
Yeah. So Jacob comes to Laban's household. When he arrives, we said kind of a little bit before, is just in kind of in recap, that he arrives with kind of this air of maybe being important, I think, if you will. He's starting to give at the very beginning of chapter 9. You know, the servants are coming. He finds out that they're probably from his kinsmen, and he immediately kind of starts giving them orders, like, you should do this, you should go ahead and water the flock and what have you. They push back on him, we can't do that, we cannot until the flocks are gathered together and the stones rolled from the mouth. Then he meets Rachel, gives her the kissing cousin's kiss. We think it's probably platonic, it's just happy to see you, but we also know pretty early on that he's taken by Rachel, if you will. He's smitten by Rachel. And so going all the way down is he meets Laban. He becomes kind of part of that household. In verse 15, Laban says to Jacob, because you're my kinsman, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me what your wages will be. So now Jacob's going to come into Laban's household and he's going to work for Laban. Laban says, well, what are your wages going to be? Surely you're not going to work for free just because you're my kinsman. And so verse 16, now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes, we read this last week, were weak. Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, I'll serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. So he strikes a deal with Laban. Laban's like, it's better that I give her to you than I should give her to any other man. Stay with me. So they strike a deal. Jacob's going to work for Rachel for 7 years, and then he's going to be able to have her hand in marriage. You wonder if that's because Rachel's really young, and maybe she needs to be older before they can marry. Not really sure about that. He's definitely, what was the word that you said?
Smitten.
He's smitten by Rachel. And so last week we talked a lot about love. Love, we said love alters our perception. Because it says that he worked, and it was hardly like he worked a day. Where was that verse at?
Well,
It says, verse 20, so Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. So you just imagine 7 years of Jacob just working in bliss because he knows the why. Have you ever heard anyone say, you know the what is he has to work, but the why is he working? He's working for her hand in marriage. And I had this great video I won't show now, but it's if we know our why, it makes our what more meaningful. If we know our why, it makes our what more meaningful. And for him, he knew his why. I'm working hard for her hand in marriage. Do you see that? And so we said last week that love alters your perception. It also alters our passion. I mean, he's toiling in the fields. He's doing hard manual labor, but he's doing it for love. And so he was passionate about that, so passionate that time flew by. And the author here writes that. Yes, sir?
It just flew by,
right. Love also alters our priorities. When he gets there, he does want to marry. We know that he's looking for a wife. But he probably wasn't saying, hey, I'm going to stay here forever. I remember he left. Why did he leave home?
Under a cloud of controversy, he had stolen a birthright and he was on the run.
And his brother wants to kill him,
right?
So his mom's sending him away to keep him safe. She's probably survivor. Thinking he's not going to be gone forever, right? I'm going to see him again. Part of the curse that she actually took on herself was coming to fruition here. She's never going to see him again. Mm-hmm. And so he leaves. Maybe his priorities are being changed because he's in love now. He found another woman. Let's put it that way, right? He found another woman other than his mom at this point. And he's probably in his 40s, so it's kind of maybe you might
probably
say
a good idea,
good idea to find another woman, right?
You know,
so,
yeah. How often do you describe somebody as they have weak eyes?
We talked about that last week.
Almost never.
Someone last week said it could be cultural.
I disagree. Because here's my theory from a visual standpoint.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Is everything I need to know about kind of what you're feeling is best I can read is through your eyes. It's not through any other part of your body, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So cultural, right? They probably wore a scarf.
Mm. Oh,
so all you can see is their eyes.
Oh, maybe so.
And you can tell when somebody, even like when if I'm taking still pictures and I want somebody to smile, well they can make their cheeks go up and all that stuff, but you can tell they're like, but when they're really happy, you can see it in their eyes. So I think that reference is like she's just kind of like a, it could be weak eyes, it could be a sad person, it could be a
plain.
There's also how he could be fooled a little bit more easily.
Yeah, all covered up, right?
And nothing else.
And you know what her name means? Cow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Wild cow.
Wild cow. Not very good. You wouldn't.
I'm not even gonna go there.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I did think your comments about the eyes were interesting as being a cameraman and what have you.
No, maybe just she's sad.
You can see that's what I'm saying. She could be
droopy eyes, sad eyes.
You know.
Yeah.
That whole, I mean, you can.
I get it.
You can tell a lot about a person's personality as well.
I've seen those, you're looking at people's eyes and trying to guess who they are. Well, I mean, you can tell what kind of life. Is in
there. Yes. We read a book for Lent and also for Advent, but the book that we read for Lent, it's a story, it's a kid's story, and we read it with our kids, but one of the scenes in it is one of the main characters begins to realize, it's set in the time of Christ, but one of the main characters is trying to discern if people are telling him the truth or not, and he discovers that he can tell if they're telling the truth through their eye movements. And you've probably seen that. It's called Amon's Adventure. It's a kid's book.
Amon?
A-M-O-N. Yeah, it's a great book. But he can tell through their eye movements if they're telling a lie, and so then he goes testing it out on people. But it's in your eyes where a lot can be discerned through looking at a person's eyes and their eye movements. And so my kids are now, because of that book, they're always trying to discover if people are lying. Like when they watch people on TV, they're always trying to say, oh, he's lying. She's lying because of their eye movements. But you can tell a lot from a person's eyes. Let's pick up in verse 21. It's kind of where we left off.
Rachel's name is Soft Lamb.
Soft Lamb. That sounds a little better than a cow, right?
Well, that's interesting.
You'd rather go Soft Lamb. Verse 21. Then Jacob said to Laban, this is presumably after the 7 years, give me my wife that I might go into her, for my time is complete. So Laban gathered together, yes, we're going to talk about that, gathered together all the people of the place and made a feast. This is the ESV. What does your translation say?
It's a lie with her, but that's...
Lie with her?
Yeah.
A little less.
Kind of a little softer.
A little less descriptive. Yeah.
That I may go into her is a little bit softer than what some of the other translations.
Maybe it's like... No.
The lie is softer.
The lie is softer than the... I didn't take it as graphically as you guys are taking it. I'm thinking that that means
say,
like
he's like, I'm
go into her
into
hut
you.
Is what I meant.
Maybe I'm just like, I'm into
good recovery.
Yeah. Yeah. We may have to edit that from the podcast.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because the other translations make it pretty clear what it
the other translation.
This says sleep with her.
Yeah.
Yours says sleep with her?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. About an app.
Yeah.
Huh?
Well, the thing is, I think one of the things you can take away is that for 7 years,
they may
be smitten with one another, but they were platonic, or what is that the right word?
No, they were
pure.
They were pure.
They were pure until this time. So that's not our culture these days, is it? It is not our culture to wait.
No,
right?
It's not.
We had that whole true love waits kind of movement, right? We need to. That's what's happening here.
Last week
that died.
True love waits, and so he's waiting. But he's ready. And he said, "For his time is complete." So Laban throws a feast. Of course, that's a big thing. It's probably something we would do too. He throws a big feast. Hey, we're going to do this thing. Look at verse 22.
Rehearsal dinner, right?
It's a rehearsal dinner. Yeah, feasting was a big thing then, as it is now. Look at verse 23. But in the evening, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her.
And he slept with her.
Okay, and your translations are three different translations. Laban gave his female servant Zilpah to his daughter Leah to be her servant, and in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And Jacob said to Laban, "What is it you have done to me? Did I not serve with you for Rachel? Why then have you deceived me?" So let's talk about this.
I keep reading this, and it's just astounding. How does he not know?
So it says, it makes an emphasis that this happens in the evening, verse 23.
And clearly there was no moon.
You ever been in the country with no artificial light, and it gets pretty dark? When I'm over at my in-laws' place in Kentucky at night, because it's pretty rural, when you turn the lights are off. You cannot see more than 10 feet in front of you. She comes in. She's probably veiled.
Closer than 10 feet.
she's veiled. She's completely veiled when she comes in. They're feasting. Who knows if he had the fruit of the vine, right? And so they're feasting. They're having a good time. He's probably excited himself in terms of, you know, finally the love that he's been waiting all this time for. And so whatever happens here, he doesn't realize who it is.
And he probably hasn't spent a lot of close time with Rachel.
Maybe not.
And she's been around.
He's more from afar. He's probably
not,
had to keep his distance.
Yeah, kind of like that. And so he may not.
They're obviously not having... This isn't meant to sound bad. It's going to sound bad, but it's not meant to. They're not having conversation, so he's not like, "Hey, Rachel, how's it going? What's up?" You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't realize probably even then. But, you know, if she's veiled and she's speaking, he may not even still realize that it's not her.
Not until morning.
Not until morning.
Lazy eye.
in the morning, I like the ESV rendering has, "In the morning, behold, it was Leah," and there's an exclamation point there, right? to emphasize the shock, right, that Jacob must be feeling when he wakes up next to Leah. And Jacob said to Laban, "What have you done to me? Did I not serve you for Rachel?"
That's such a classic bait and switch.
If there ever is.
Now let's talk about...
I know what we would do.
If there ever is.
But in today's, we would just say, "Okay, you know,
This is not what I bargained for.
One of my commentaries.
It ain't what last night was.
One of my commentaries says, now the chickens have come home to roost, and the deceiver becomes the deceived.
Indeed.
Wow.
Indeed.
The deceiver becomes the deceived.
The deceiver.
He lied. Jacob disguised himself to get Isaac's blessing. He passed passed the younger off as the older. And now in this demonstration of irony.
Y'all were way, I was thinking just in this story, how to deceive.
So now, but now listen to this. In that, Jacob disguised himself to Isaac, passed off the younger as the older. Jacob was the younger.
He passed off.
And now, in this demonstration of irony, Laban passes off the older as if she's the younger. And so, Jacob had covered himself with animal skins to deceive. Laban covers his daughter with veils to deceive. Do you see the different the similarities here? Jacob had again. The commentary says Jacob had sown deception, and now he's reaping deception. Isn't that just?
That is so right.
And so isn't it? The term the kettle,
pot calling
the kettle black, right? He says, "What is this you've done to me? Did I not serve you for Rachel? Why then have you deceived me?" That's a classic pot calling the kettle black statement, isn't it? Why are you? I can't believe that you have tricked me. Yeah. So it's only in the morning that Jacob realizes what's happened. Other comments on that?
That's great.
Well, Laban goes on to say, of course, didn't I tell you? I'm sure he's quite satisfied with his.
Well, it's interesting that when Jacob received the blessing, I'm sure he thought his life was going to be on easy street.
Yeah.
He thought, man, now I've got everything I want, everything I need. This pursuit for maybe worldly gain, this pursuit for maybe kind of. I'm not sure when he took the blessing that he realized that he was getting God's blessing along with that, but I know that he knew that he was getting the material blessing. He probably thought, this is good news for me. My life's going to be good. Mm-hmm. Isn't that the pursuit that many people are on? That pursuit for material gain, for material happiness, for, man, if I just had this, things would be great. Well, look at his life now, right? I think it's kind of a mess right now. I think it's kind of a mess right now.
He's certainly not where he thought he would be.
He's certainly not where he thought he would be. I'm sure that this wasn't part of his plan. It obviously wasn't. He's kind of upset by being rejected. So now instead of working 7 years for Rachel, he worked 7 years for Leah.
Look at verse. That's a pretty good.
That's a chunk of time. That's a chunk of time.
Did anybody date their wife for
7 years?
At least 7 years?
No. Did you really?
High school, right? Sweethearts?
Or even congratulations to you.
So, in those 7 years, did you know?
Not in this, a biblical way.
No.
Okay.
Did you know that she was going to be the one? I mean, did you think, like, okay, we're
this
too young
is a men's
now,
study,
but I'll wait 7 years and get married to her?
This is a men's study, I guess.
There came a point where we were, actually, you know, the thing was like 6.5, but yeah. I mean, in through college, and we just weren't old enough. We had to work the 7 years, and we had to get through college, and
but you
that kind of
knew.
Stuff. Yeah, you know, probably about halfway through college. Yeah, first year in high school, then 2 to 3 years in college, because we dated a little bit more, and we kept coming back, and we just, hey, man, you know.
But like, Jacob here, I mean, he was like, day one, I know I'm going to marry you, but
no.
I got to wait 7 years.
No.
That's tough. That is a chunk of time.
Yeah.
So, you know, take...
Especially if you're 4 years old.
Right. And you're like...
And she's 9 years old.
She's probably very young.
Or 11.
So that's kind of a weird thing. But different culture, different time, different... Yeah, it's kind of not it's culturally taboo now, but back then, I guess it was different. Yeah, so a couple of quick things, because we've said the deceiver gets deceived and all these things. These are all like simple truths that we know already. One of the reasons that I think we read these stories, though, is because, and I've mentioned this before, but someone smarter than me one time said, we're a forgetful people. We know that we shouldn't deceive, that things are going to come back to roost and what have you. But we forget, right? And we need to come back and we need to remember that. Was that you that said that, Ivan? That we're forgetful people?
He doesn't remember.
He doesn't remember.
Well, when you said someone that was smarter than you, I just assumed.
Oh, yeah. Right. It could be any number of you. Remember Bill's comment. Everyone here, he has friends that are smarter than we are. So, anyway, not to go down that trail.
I thought we'd forgotten.
Yeah, we had forgotten. We're not that forgetful. So
conveniently forgetful.
But it's good for us to hear these truths from these stories again, because it's just reminders to us. Wow, we've got to be on our. We've got to watch ourselves. We've got to guard our hearts against deception. Right? We've got to guard our hearts against deception and be honest, be clear.
Yeah, and we can't deceive, a little thing, comes around.
Things come around, absolutely. That's a good lesson to learn, isn't it? Look at verse 26. Laban said, "It's not done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn." Like, he's telling Jacob, like, come on.
You didn't really
think I was going to give you my younger daughter first?
Is he making up a new rule, or is he just like?
I think he is falling
back on.
You think he's making up a new rule?
Yeah. He said, "Is it not the custom in this place?" It's just a local.
Don't you remember?
Yeah.
Within the last 24 hours, it is not our custom.
Yeah, within the last 24, it just started to not be one of our customs to do that. Well, I think too, it's. Apparently, Leah had no suitors, because there was no other candidates within that 7 years to take Leah's hand in marriage, right? Because he could have married her off to someone else, theoretically, within that 7 years, but apparently not going to happen. So, verse 27, complete the week of this one, and we will give you the other also in return for serving me another 7 years. Jacob did so, and I know, right?
Wow.
The art of the deal. Jacob did so and completed her week. Then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. So the week, the ESV study note says there that the wedding celebrations lasted for 7 days. Laban persuades Jacob to complete the process with Leah on the understanding that he'll then be able to marry Rachel. This would also give ample opportunity for Leah to conceive a child. And so Jacob does this. Verse 29, Laban gave his female servant Bilhah to his daughter Rachel to be her servant. So Jacob went into Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah. And served Laban for another 7 years. Isn't that sad? He loved Rachel more than Leah.
That's a sad statement.
The whole thing's a sad statement. There's an old believer's Bible study commentary about polygamy here, having more than one wife. You can say that it says, I'm just going to read the note. It says the evils of polygamy are readily observed in the family of Jacob. Number one, there's rivalry that's going to happen. Number two, there's hatred that's going to happen. These are things to come because of this. Number three, there's envy that's going to happen. We're going to see more of it. Number four, there's anger. Number five, there's fighting. And number six, there's virtual prostitution that happens later on in this family. So this family has issues. And part of that is this whole deception. This is a family that's now born from deception. Mm-hmm. Not a good beginning for the family, and there's going to be a lot of issues that are going to happen here. Yet, God is faithful. Yet, God keeps his promises. Yet, God continues to bless. And through this family, we get the blessing of the coming of Christ. And
well, I think also, 12 tribes are from here. And, you think of... Leah, there were more children from Leah than from Rachel.
Uh-huh. Four children are born to Leah. No.
Yes.
Is that right? Yeah. Four children are born to Leah.
Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah.
Two children for...
No, she had... Leah only had... Oh, wait.
Well, she had six, she and had seven. Rachel had the seven.
She had seven.
She has seven. Rachel has two, and then two of these
servants.
Two of these servants have two each.
Okay,
so there's 13 total.
Who we've already
been introduced to.
Jacob a little credit here, though. Yeah. I mean, he's still honoring his So
there's Zilpah and Bilhah. They both have two children from Jacob each.
Yeah.
So he got Rachel a week later.
Yes. But then continued to work seven more years.
Yeah, I never realized that. I thought he had to wait.
I know. I thought another.
You thought he had to wait an additional 7 years.
Exactly.
Wait, what happens now?
He gets married to Rachel. He has the wedding ceremony for a week. She conceives during that time. And then he gets to marry immediately. He gets to marry Rachel. But the condition of marrying Rachel is that he's got to stay another 7 years or more.
Sure? So where does it... I missed that.
It wasn't Leah... 7 years, Leah...
Verse 27? Verse 27?
That's what I thought it was.
I know, that's what I think... That's what
finish
I
this daughter's bridal.
Complete the week of this one, and we'll give you the other one also in return Leah, for serving me
Rachel,
another 7 years.
7 more years.
Okay, so I'm not convinced of that. Let's talk about it. I thought, finish this week with... The daughter Leah, because that's what we do. You know, you have this honeymoon, and then I'm going to give you the daughter.
But you're going to have to work.
But
7 years,
and then after 7 years, I'm going to give it. You know, I don't.
No.
That's how I read it. That's how I read it. Restart the clock.
How do we know that?
Right there, 28.
He got paid in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And
he got paid in advance. This
right, and I never realized.
He finished the week with Leah.
And I think that was kind of shrewd on Laban's part, because Laban's probably like, he's not going to stick around another 7 years and wait for Rachel. Plus, he's not going to wait for that long for Rachel to be married.
And then, he worked for Laban.
Okay, so.
Presumably, Rachel's already marrying age.
Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife, but I was thinking, and then.
He had to work 7 years.
Yeah.
He gets to marry Rachel.
I think when he had a.
He marries Rachel, and then he has to work another 7 years.
Okay.
So I think this is interesting too, though. We know that this is going to be the lineage of Christ. This is kind of looking forward to all these children we were just talking about. Christ is from the tribe of Judah. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, right? Or Christ is from the tribe of Judah. Judah is born of Leah.
Yeah. Right.
Just interesting. Yep. For what it's worth, Judah is born from Leah. Right. And so it's the first wife that Christ is. And so, for what it's worth, right, that's kind of interesting. Look at verse 28. Jacob did so and completed her week. Then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. He completed the week, which is the week of the marriage ceremony. Laban gave his female servant Bilhah to his daughter Rachel to be her servant. So Jacob went into Rachel also and loved Rachel more than Leah and served Laban for another 7 years. So that's where we think that timeline comes from. When we guys, do we have time for a few more verses and we'll read to the end of the chapter? Is that okay? When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me. She conceived again and bore a son, and said, because the Lord has heard that I am hated, he has given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. Again she conceived and bore a son, and said, now this time my husband will be attached to me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore, his name was called Levi, which is with the priestly order. And she conceived again and bore his son and said, this time I will praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah. Then she ceased bearing. So remember what I just said about the lineage of Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see anything here in this? The first 3 sons are born for who?
For Jacob.
So he'll love me.
Right. The last one.
Does she say the last one, maybe Jacob will love me now? Or she's kind of probably given up on Jacob loving her at that
this
point.
This time I will praise the Lord.
She bears Judah and says, this time I'll praise the Lord, and then her womb is shut. Which I think is interesting, because I know we have more. She has 3 daughters after that. Is that right? No, that's not right.
Two sons
and a daughter.
There's only one daughter in the whole.
So, but isn't that interesting that when she has Judah, she says, now I praise the Lord for having Judah. And Judah is where Christ comes from, the lineage. Interesting. She's trying to gain his love, though. That is a really sad story.
Well,
it's just terrible. She's like, I'm going to have this, and he'll change.
I don't think that's an uncommon.
It's not uncommon, but it's still kind of tragic. She's seeking to gain her husband's love through having children. And it doesn't come. And it doesn't even say that he doesn't love her. It says he hated her.
Yeah.
That's kind of rough there.
And there's Laban, there's Dad kind of manipulating the whole thing.
Yeah. And it's probably Dad's fault that there's a little hatred going on there, right?
Yeah.
Because she's part of that deception in a way.
Yeah. Dad jammed Leah.
Yeah.
She didn't.
Right.
Where nobody wanted her. The sister, yeah. Rachel, the husband, Jacob, probably even Leah, you know. Really, Dad?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he was doing it for him.
Why did the Lord...
He needed his daughter married off and more, you know, offspring.
What does verse 31 say about the Lord in this? What's his role? What's God's role?
He opened her womb.
Yeah, the first thing is he saw that Leah was hated.
Well, are hated? What says of love?
These say...
says unloved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said the same. Yeah, same thing. But what does it say? What are the first four words in the ESV is when the Lord saw. I think that's telling and descriptive because he's involved. Do you see that?
Yeah.
And he's involved. Yeah. Verse 31. He's involved. He's compassionate. He sees the pain that she's going through, the difficult time. And he does something about it, and what he does is he opens her womb, but he then closes Rachel's womb, is what it says there. He opens her womb, but Rachel was barren, and you have to believe that he had a hand in Rachel's barrenness. The ESV study notes suggest that maybe Rachel wasn't good to her sister either. You know what I mean? Maybe Rachel was part of that not being loved, Leah not being loved. And so... one womb is open and the other one is closed. And then, of course, because the Lord looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me. It seems as though these first three sons are born in her mind so that Jacob would love her. Yeah. Something that she needs, something that she wants. And someone mentioned, yeah, that happens today. People do that today. Doesn't work out. Right, we can go to one of these early stories. Right, doesn't usually work out that way.
You know something interesting is, so Jesus comes from Judah. Judah comes from Leah. Leah wasn't loved, and what was Jesus's principle teaching?
Love everyone. Yeah, love one another.
The thing that's interesting is there's all this stuff about fertility so wrapped up. Notion of God's favor and
disfavor.
And yet when you get to the New Testament, it's virgin birth. I mean, you sort of almost take that off the, you know, off the table.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
My wife's father grew up in Eastern Europe, in a very traditional society. And when she said, she was pregnant with our first son, she did a sonogram. It was, you know, said it was going to be a boy, so she told her dad it's going to be a boy. And his immediate response was, Joe must be very proud.
That's funny.
When my dad...
He was right, but I didn't...
asked when the third child was born, and we went to find out what it was, and he called and said, so, what's the news? And I said, well, it's a daughter, the third one. He said, well... you're just not much of a man, are you? So, similar, you know.
Yeah.
So. And he laughed. But he did. He said that.
That's your dad?
That was my dad.
You say, let me explain the chromosome thing.
You said, three? Wow. You're 0 for 3?
Yeah.
One interesting note in the ESV about the names, you've got Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Their names are kind of a wordplay, too. And if you have the ESV study Bible, Reuben says, Reuben means see, Simeon means hear, Levi means attached, and Judah means praise. Hmm. Judah means praise. Mm-hmm. So interesting things are happening there. I'm going to go ahead and close it here. Lots of timely truths that we should hold on to and not forget. The deception that comes home to roost, right? And then this whole mixed up marriage thing, it's just not good, right? It's just not a good way to start a family.
The whole, I mean, just all the...
It repeats itself, too, with...
Oh, it's going to continue to be a mess.
Right, and you can just see it.
Direction, because Joseph gets all the press.
Yeah.
The next many chapters.
Yeah.
But Judah's actually...
Judah's the yeah, forerunner for Christ.
And Joseph is from Rachel.
Yeah.
And we can really step back really and observe weird. All the effects that these little things...
On their on the future generations.
Well, future, but I mean, yeah, just how it all.
Yeah, I was reading before, the hatred, the envy, the anger, the infighting,
the, all the brothers and
rivalry. Not good. Not a good start. But lots of truths to be able to. And then I say not a good start, but on the other hand, you still see the faithfulness of God. Mm-hmm. You still see that His promises are going to come true. Through all of the darkness, through all of the unloving, the hatred, the deception, His promises are still solid. Mm-hmm. They're still solid. He's still going to the end game is already set in stone.
Well, I was gonna say the flip side of that is God's
will be done.
I mean, he's like
you can't thwart it.
No,
right?
No, he's like
good.
Keep trying, keep right. trying. Nope, I got to correct. I'm going to autocorrect here.
Yeah.
So.
Someone close this.